Hello and Happy New Year! Welcome to 2020. This is our first episode of the year. I hope that it's off to a great start for all of you guys. Unfortunately, the same can't be said of me. I just spent the last 10 minutes trying to work out why my computer wasn't recording the audio, and then realized that I had my microphone switched off. So I can only hope that the year gets better for me. hopefully I didn't stand in my own way, but it's been a really amazing few days so far, in all honesty. We welcomed in the new year with some friends and we watched Toy Story 4, which is an amazing film. And I also had a lot of music related gifts at Christmas, which I've really been enjoying. So I got The Black Halo by Camelot. It's an album that I've wanted for a while. I know a few of the singles. They have The Haunting, a duet with Simone Simons from Epica, which is amazing. So it's really nice to have that album. And also Hunter's Moon by Delane, which my best friend got me. I'm super excited to listen to those songs. I haven't actually got round to it yet. I got so many CDs. Everyone who knows me knows that I love music, so I always get CDs. Which is really nice. It makes January a lot more bearable having new music to enjoy. Another band I want to give a shout out as well, I got their CD Alba. They're called Sleeping Romance. They're from Italy and they have a really great song called Where the Light is Bleeding, I think it's called. I always doubt myself when I'm recording it and I have to stick with it. I always doubt myself that I've got the song title right, but something like that anyway. You can check it out on YouTube. It has a video and it's a really great song. Just your standard gothic symphonic tinged metal with female vocals, and I really like it, so I recommend it to you guys. But anyway, we are starting off the new year on a pretty somber note as far as Nightwish are concerned. Not only is it just my voice this episode that you'll have to deal with since there's no guest, Thomas is meanwhile pondering death on this song and also memories. So this track is my personal highlight from Imaginarium, and today we're going to be discussing the doom influences behind Nightwish and just why this song is intrinsically linked with Annette's departure. So let's chat about Rest Calm. Rest Calm isn't the first time that Nightwish have tackled the topic of death in their music. Usually, however, it takes on more of a peaceful and, dare I say, like a positive twist than the usual gory and violent visualizations in the more aggressive metal subgenres. I'm looking at you, Cannibal Corpse. In the Alpenglow episode, we touched on the idea of being returned to the earth, not to mention the numerous mentions where Thomas longs to be returned to the sea himself, Ocean Soul, The Poet and the Pendulum, and then we also have Dead to the World, Dead Gardens, and even Quelema Teke Tetelian, which translates to Death Makes an Artist. So it's certainly a topic that provides a lot of inspiration for Thomas's songwriting, but here it feels even more front and center than in any other song. In a track-by-track discussion of the album, Thomas calls Rest Calm the funeral procession of the album. And unlike songs such as Storytime and Elan that flip between ideas and muses with every passing sentence and lyric, each lyric in Rest Calm seems to represent the same idea, which is that of remembering your life on your deathbed. Again, in a more interesting way than the usual my life flash before my eyes, those kind of ideas that are lazily tacked onto like TV dramas and in films. There's a sentiment here in Rest Calm that through Marco's incredible vocal delivery exudes a real emotional weight. The back and forth between him and Annette in Rest Calm, it feels like a journey from life into death, with Marco expressing the instinct and fight to live, and then Annette alluring in her gentle delivery, personifying the song's title of Rest and Calm. So the grand finale, after a hefty build-up with the choir and repetitive chants, it feels otherworldly and spiritual, but not necessarily religious, but a similar image to the utopian, like, pearly gates that many people envisage as the gateway to heaven. And that really comes to my mind when I listen to the finale of Rest Calm. the ascension from the occasional doomy influence into a symphonic climax. It's a real stunning payoff for one of the lengthier Imaginarium tracks. My only qualm with Rescom is its title. The slightly clunky language of that title phrase, Rest Calm, it's resolved in the almost title lyric, Every Little Memory Resting Calm in Me. But the chosen title does feel redundant because rest and calm evoke the same kind of feeling and those same ideas. So that's really just me being completely picky. And since I am someone that can speak approximately 10 words in Spanish and have very, very little talent for languages, these occasionally questionable turns of phrase are few and far between for the Finns in Nightwish. And who manage as well their own really complicated language as well as fluent English. So I'm certainly not critiquing them too harshly when it comes to stuff like this. I can only admire their grasp of the English language and these poetic turns of phrase that they come up with in their second language. I really love that Annette's vocals sound almost like the lapping of waves, mirroring the scene-setting opening lyric of a seaside hotel. Annette sings of the late relatives and the familiar faces that invite Marco's character, if you will, to join them, and reminds him of the memories he has enjoyed throughout his life. With Marco in the second verse, desperation returns as he addresses someone as the moon pulling my black waters, comparing the ocean's tides with the pull of a person, be it Annette and her allure towards death, or the things and people that left in his life that are willing him to remain alive. Again, it's not apparent which of the two he's addressing, but he asks them to stay by his side until it all goes dark forever, a sense of fear of the unknown coming over him. And this part is quite unique for Thomas, who generally approaches death in his lyrics as an easier transition and a harmonious experience. So in this song, we get that instinctive panic and fear that is powerfully emphasized by Marco's voice and the change in key at the end of the second verse. When that draws to a close, you really start to feel the desperation. Scouring social media for mentions and comments on Rest Calm, it seems that the song is intrinsically linked to Annette's departure from the band. Dominating the Last.fm page for this track and also being scattered across Pinterest and Tumblr and YouTube is the phrase Rest Calm and Remember Annette Olsen, as a tribute to her once her exit from Nightwish had been announced. It's a fitting song as she does sing that resonant lyric, Rest Calm and Remember Me, that particularly stands out from this song and now with added meaning after leaving the band. Despite all of this though, Rest Calm scored a middling 7th in the Imaginarium Knockout on Reddit and is slap bang in the middle of the rate, so neither in the top half or the bottom half. As I said at the top of the episode, this one is probably my absolute favourite, or at least among my absolute favourite songs from Imaginarium, and one that I come back to quite often. I love that the song mellows out and slows down for its chorus and the epic finale. For me, this would be a great set closer, the way it builds and builds to that finale. Unfortunately, that honour is generally given to more revered tracks and epics, such as, of course, the much adored Greatest Show on Earth on the Endless Forms and Decades tour, and then Last Ride of the Day throughout the Imaginarium era, and even Wish I Had an Angel on earlier shows. So there is one place that it might just get a set closing moment though, and that is on my dream set list, which Rest Calm is being put onto without an ounce of doubt. So the dream set list is shaping up quite nicely. Do let me know when I post these episodes if each of these songs would make it onto your dream set list. I would love to hear which songs mean a lot to you and potentially which ones aren't really performed live that often that you would love to hear. As always, you can email me and Instagram me and do whatever. Send a carrier pigeon. Just get the message to me, guys. I'm really interested to hear what you think. As for actual live performances, Rest Calm is extremely unique. I'm asking anyone that attended the Imaginarium tour, did the band really only perform this song on two occasions? Because I can see a very low quality video on YouTube of Annette performing it in Salt Lake City. And as a little aside, I always struggle to pronounce that place properly ever since seeing the Book of Mormon. If anyone's seen it, they will understand. And of course, that show in Salt Lake City was also Annette's last show. I can't comment on the performance as the quality of that video is really low, but there is only one other live cut that I've been able to track down of Rest Calm, and that is from the fateful Denver show, in which Annette was sick and the band performed alongside Elise from Amaranth, Alyssa from Archenemy / Camelot, and with Marco taking more of a lead than usual. And it's Marco himself that fills in the gaps on Rest Calm. As he already holds the verses himself, it does feel like quite a fitting song to flesh out the set list in Annette's absence. So he does just cover her chorus in addition. And I've watched a very few clips of the Denver show, or the Denver debacle as it's referred to by an uploader on YouTube. So I am about to give it a listen now, the Marco version from the Denver show, and I will report back with my opinions, okay? Hashtag the podcast and the pendulum reacts to that Denver show that Annette wasn't a part of. I think that's going to take off. Hashtag everyone. Okay, I've listened to the video that is on YouTube. And, well, what do I think? So, it's interesting that this is the... Well, it's not the live debut, but it's one of the first times they performed it, and yet the band sound flawless. Like, Marco sounds great in his verses. I will be honest though, he does feel a little bit harsh and breathless for the Annette part that he covers. I mentioned earlier that I really love that that's really alluring and almost like she's a siren luring Marco into accepting his death. But Marco does manage some vocal runs after the second chorus, so it's like he's finding his feet even as the song itself rolls on. You can feel his confidence grow. And I do have to say that I feel a little bit rude for highlighting anything about this performance, anything negative in this performance though, because like Elise and Alyssa, we have to remember that Marco also will have had a very small amount of time to rehearse Annette's parts, and with that considered, Marco just performs admirably in this clip. I recommend anyone to go and watch it if you're curious. I don't think you'll be disappointed. And speaking of the Marco live cut version, it reminds me of the mail order edition of Imaginarium. So this was limited to 1,000 copies, and I wasn't fortunate enough nor rich enough to secure a copy myself, but the internet does say that the Rest Calm demo is included, which is complete with gorgeous artwork that I will put onto Instagram when I post this episode. It's at Podcast Pendulum. Hopefully you know that already. But upon tracing it through YouTube, I'm a bit confused because the demo feels heavier and the choir is not fully added in towards the end, and it does lose a little bit of the bombast that the album version achieves. But this is surprisingly refined for a demo version, and certainly not rough and ready like other demo versions I'm used to. But where my confusion lies is that the mail order offers a Rest Calm demo featuring vocals by Marco. And yes, this demo version of Rest Calm does have Marco on vocals, but only mirroring the pieces that he sang on the studio cut. And whilst I'm at it, the mail order version also came with an Imaginarium mirror. So did anyone get it? Please send me a pic on Instagram. My mind's all over the place. Clearly 2020 is not going to be my year. But back to my point. Is there another demo version that I don't know about with only Marco singing on it? Because that's the impression that I got. You know, when they said the demo version featuring Marco on vocals, I imagine it would be all Marco, just like the Eva version that he sang, the demo version of that. Answers on a scroll and delivered by an owl, if you please. Or you can just DM me at Instagram or email me at thepodcastandthependulum@gmail.com if you did get that version. One, I want to know if that's the demo version with Annette on or if it's just a solo version with Marco. And two, send me a picture of your mirror, please. What's so special about it? Is it as amazing as it sounds or is it just a little piece of plastic? I don't know. Yeah, I'll let you guys know, keep you posted and keep you up to date on this Rest Calm mystery. In an interview dissecting Imaginarium track by track, Thomas said of Rest Calm, "It really pays homage to my favourite old school bands like Paradise Lost or My Dying Bride. It's this mid-tempo, heavy but still melodic epic piece which gets totally out of hand in the end of the song. One of those sleepers of the album, I would say. It certainly didn't strike me immediately when I first listened to Imaginarium. I wonder if Thomas's guesswork was also right about anyone else when they first started listening to Imaginarium. So did you instantly love this song or was it a grower or a sleeper, like Thomas said?" I was very excited to read that quote from Thomas too, as I am also a big fan of our British goth icons Paradise Lost. Even when discovering Nightwish and not knowing my Iron Maiden from my Metallica, that name Paradise Lost came up time and time again. So they're considered one of the main pioneers of doom death metal. Nick Holmes, Greg McIntosh and co sit shoulder to shoulder with fellow Brits Anathema and My Dying Bride, who Thomas also references in that quote, but we'll get to those in a second. So for anyone interested in exploring Paradise Lost, the early stuff that Thomas cites as an influence might not actually be the most inviting way to start listening to them. So if you're already into death, then their earlier stuff may appeal. So I'm talking Lost Paradise and Gothic, the albums, for example. But I find that their later stuff is a tad catchier and more infectious for new listeners. Faith Divides Us, Death Unites Us is possibly my favourite album from the group. It maintains their doomy undertones, but it also has some real prominent and instant infectious riffs. And recent effort, Tragic Idol and earlier album 1 Second are also firm favourites of mine for a similar reason. Paradise Lost are a band that have explored their sound and their genre over the years, and fans have very varying opinions about the electronic influence on Symbol of Life and the runt of their album litter, Believe in Nothing. But metal purists still cite Paradise Lost's earlier albums as the ones that have given them the legendary status that the band hold these days. Another sign of how Nightwish shot to prominence, even in Paradise Lost's homeland here in the UK, during an earlier UK show with Taria at the helm, Paradise Lost actually supported Nightwish in London. And they also went on to support Nightwish in the US on a later tour. So it must have been a pretty incredible turn of events for the band who first inspired Nightwish's existence and deeply inspired Thomas himself to be on tour supporting them. My Dying Bride then, they also get a lot of mentions from Thomas. As well as inspiration for Rest Calm, the group also seemed to be a personal favourite of Thomas's in general, at least back when he was fascinated by these dark, depressing dirges. Let's be honest, we all went through that phase. Some listened to Adele to get them through their moody teenage years, and others listened to melancholic doom metal. I found these two quotes by Thomas about My Dying Bride and just why their music meant so much to him. So Thomas says, "My Dying Bride have had a massive impact on me, particularly in my lyric writing. I think Aaron Stanthorpe is one of the best lyricists in the whole world. When I was at high school, there was a girl, and she didn't know anything about me until one day I went to her and gave her the lyrics to this song and said, 'This is how I feel about you.' After that, we were together for a couple of years." In another interview, Thomas was asked about the album that broke his heart, to which he answered, "The Angel and the Dark River, My Dying Bride's 1995 offering." Curiously, released only a couple of years before Nightwish's own debut, Angels Fall First. Thomas said of the My Dying Bride record, "I just discovered the beautiful world of metal in 92-93, and I was into bands like Metallica, Pantera, Ozzy, and Megadeth, and then I found the darker side of metal and started to listen to bands like Paradise Lost and My Dying Bride. I loved my metal served dark and melancholic for a long time. That album and any album by My Dying Bride broke my heart in a positive sense." Although not specifically mentioned as an inspiration for Rest Calm, I do also want to mention a Norwegian band that Thomas gives a lot of credit to for inspiring the use of female vocals in Nightwish. The Third and the Mortal are featured in the We Were Here book, a fantastic photo of the group with Thomas, who has cited often that he was inspired again by their earlier and darker works. Kari Ruoslahti may be known to some others for her solo career after leaving the band, and her recent jaunt with Annika van Gertsbergen, formerly from The Gathering, and Liv Kristin, who's formerly from fellow Norwegians Theatre of Tragedy and later Leaves Eyes, another band who have had quite a bit of drama when it comes to switching vocalists. The trio of Annika, Kari and Liv were trailblazers in female voices within metal, and they united a few years ago for a project called The Sirens, which actually seems to have gone quiet but did promise original material, which I don't believe has come to fruition, but I'm sure it was a memorable experience for anyone that saw them on tour. And I like Paradise Lost, though The Third and the Mortal, despite sadly not having as much in regards to legendary status as the band, nor material, the band have explored numerous different sounds and styles throughout their career, and my personal favourite is actually the trip-hop influences on Memoirs, which is their last studio album released in 2002 and featuring the vocalist Kirsty Huke. Speaking of The Third and the Mortal song Why So Lonely, Thomas says, "When I heard this song on Finnish radio was when I discovered females in metal music. That album is still one of my favourites to this day. It brought in the whole new idea of females singing with metal bands, and definitely without it, Nightwish would not exist." So a lot of talk about influences today, and I know that a lot of people out there are influenced themselves by Nightwish, not just to create music, but also to create art, lyrics, poetry. So if Nightwish have inspired you in any way, please do drop me an email to thepodcastandthependulum@gmail.com, and I'd love to get you on board and contribute to a future episode. We have, like I mentioned in the last episode, a lot of great guests coming up that I'm really excited to share with you guys. But in the interim, you can message me on the email address or via Instagram at podcastpendulum. And we're back to our Wednesday routine now, so I'll see you next Wednesday for the next episode. The Podcast and the Pendulum is an independent, fan-run podcast that is not linked in any way with Nightwish, its members, Nuclear Blast, Spinefarm Records, or any associated companies.